Welcome to the All Time Conspiracies podcast, where every week we look at stories both strange and scary and discuss the wider conspiracy patterns behind the week's news. Joining me today are Martin.
Hello.
And Alex.
Hello.
You've probably seen this all before on the channel. And today, as with every week, we'll be looking at two items of news, discussing if there is a conspiracy aspect to those stories, as well as any other points of interest that arise. And then we'll be looking at a larger, more famous conspiracy at the end of the episode. Alex will be regaling us with a tale of intrigue.
It's an absolute classic. Can I say what it is?
Not yet.
Okay.
Or you can.
We're going to be talking about the JFK conspiracy. I know we've talked about it a lot on the channel.
I do like that one.
But we're going to be focusing on one particular person in the conspiracy.
Ah, that's
JFK?
Interesting.
Or someone else.
Well, JFK, yeah.
I take it it's not Lee Harvey Oswald.
And not Lee Harvey. No. You're not allowed to guess, okay? Just leave it as a surprise.
Okay, I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah. I did see earlier, but I just can't remember for the life of me.
He's a key player, okay?
But I'm sure he is. Oh, actually, I remember now, but I won't spoil.
Okay. Well, that's good, because you'll also be treating us to a quiz, won't you, Martin?
I will be, yeah. Hopefully it'll be interesting. It's mixed. There's some conspiracy, but most of it's just random things from the news and random facts that you'll have never guessed. So I'm expecting some low scores.
Yeah, this is where I embarrass myself and expose my ignorance of everything.
Good stuff.
let's move on. Ooh.
Yeah, what have you guys been up to then? Let's start with that. Anything nice this week?
Conspiracies.
Yeah?
Yeah, doing conspiracies. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I've just got back from holiday. Nice breakaway.
He has got a nice tan.
Yeah. In case anyone's wondering why there's been a kind of break in the conspiracy files. That's probably why.
You've been here in spirit, but you haven't physically been here.
Have I? Yeah. No, it's just been in Lanzarote for 10 days.
That's really nice.
And my brother got married.
Congratulations.
Not in Lanzarote.
No. Were you on his honeymoon?
just following them around.
Now that can get awkward.
Yeah. No, I wasn't. Okay. But yeah, it was really nice.
What have you been up to, Martin?
It's been a bit boring, really. I mean, I had a log delivery.
A log delivery?
Yeah. So winter is coming. So so I've got a log delivery, but they basically just dumped all the logs in the road. So I spent the afternoon stopping cars and trying to wheelbarrow these logs across the road. And then I stacked them the wrong way and they all fell down. So I had to stack them again. But anyway, that was the weekend. So nice. That's good.
Busy weekend.
Yeah, exactly.
So do you have like a proper, like full wooden fire?
It's a little
burning.
It's a burner. So it's like a little
stove
thing in through the chimney.
Oh, that's lovely.
Luckily, there's a chimney.
It's a stove that's built into the house.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
It's very old fashioned.
It is.
Do you have central heating?
Yes.
Okay, just checking. I don't know how these things work.
Yeah, so that was Saturday. Saturday done. I also saw some friends as well. But not much going on, actually. It was a day of ordering. I ordered the logs. Well, yeah. I got them delivered. Mm. And I also ordered an advent beer calendar.
Oh,
nice. Yeah.
How big is that?
A bit early. So one for each day.
But I mean, how big is it?
Yeah. Well, it'll be, how big is 24 cans or bottles,
I guess? That is incredible.
Yeah.
Where are you going to put it? not next to the logs.
In the kitchen, maybe? Yeah. So I'm excited already.
But how do you keep the beer cool? If it's in a giant calendar like that? That's my question.
I mean, you could put the whole thing... You don't want a warm beer. I mean, luckily, Advent tends to be pretty cool.
That's true. You could put it outside.
I reckon so. Yeah. I reckon so. I've got the floors are quite cold anyway.
Yeah.
So are they like little beers? Or are they
full-size
beers?
No, they're full-size beers.
Wow,
yeah,
nice.
It's going to be a big old thing.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's cool.
So I'm excited.
Can you tell us the brand? Or is that allowed? That not allowed?
I could do, but it might seem like a bit of a sponsorship.
It would, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
And we are not...
This one was Honest Brew, but there are plenty available.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plenty of others available.
Yeah, yes. I might do a whiskey advent again. That was fun.
Again?
Isn't like that?
Yeah.
I've done
it
already.
I did. Sorry. I thought you meant a whiskey advent calendar, which would be brutal.
Which would be amazing.
A bottle a day.
I imagine they'd probably do little shots. Because you can get those, can't you?
You can.
You can go and buy wine glasses that have got... covers on.
Yeah.
It's just a plastic glass full of wine, which I thought was amazing when I first saw one. At the same time, it was horrible and terrible because you've got wine that's just been under foil in a plastic glass.
Yeah.
Which doesn't taste great.
I mean, the best wines don't come in those, do they?
No, not the best ones.
Yeah. Actually, back to the whiskey one. The one good thing about the whiskey one, I looked at it last year, actually. I didn't get any alcohol advent candles last year, but I looked at the whiskey one and some of them, because you get small measures, some of them were actually very, very rare. So one of them was like £800 for if you bought a full bottle.
Wow.
But of course, you get to try a little bit of something that you wouldn't necessarily get to try otherwise.
Did you see the thing in the news? This is unrelated to the news we're going to discuss soon, about a whiskey bottle that just sold for £848,000.
Really?
At auction, I think.
How old was that?
I think the label said 1848 or something like that. I didn't actually read the article. I wish I had now, because it would have been relevant. But yeah, I can't imagine ever spending that much stuff, that much money on anything other than a house. Even then, I'd try not to. But I think I could be tempted for a whiskey. but would I open it? Would you ever open something that expensive?
Yeah,
day one.
you'd open the advent, you'd open it on the 1st of December and then cry for the rest of the month. Its value is half.
You're pouring it into the lid, you know, to make sure you don't use too much.
Have the most expensive whiskey and Coke ever. Yeah. Water it down.
Anyway, let's move on to news that isn't whiskey related. Martin, do you have a news story?
I do have a news story. So this news story, actually, it's kind of news, okay? That's a disclaimer here, because the original news was released in January of this year. So basically, in Norway, the Norwegian government granted a license for 13 oil companies to be able to drill like in the Arctic. Mm. And of course, this caused outrage. And so back in January, a few environmental groups, including Greenpeace and a few others, decided to sue the Norwegian government.
Wow.
And so this was actually rejected by the courts, by the judiciary. But recently, this week, they've appealed.
Okay.
They've appealed the ruling. Yeah. And so this one from the BBC News, it focuses on a teenage climate change climate activist who's a member of one of these groups, and she's speaking about the responsibility that we all have towards the environment. And so it's just really, really interesting. As I say, the court ruled in favour of the government, but it's being appealed. And they rejected the group's arguments and said that it doesn't actually breach the citizens' constitutional rights to a healthy environment, because they were saying that it's their right. The government was going against the Paris Climate Agreement, and that it was their rights for future generations to actually be able to live in a clean world. The Norwegian government denied that it was breaking this commitment, and these groups have basically sued it and countersued. And that is pretty much the story. There isn't too much more to it,
okay,
other than the fact that it does raise some pretty interesting questions, which hopefully you guys will help me answer. And the first one is, if this appeal is successful, will we see a rise in the number of people suing governments to not sticking to their promises?
I mean, I'd be very surprised if it is successful, because
that's the first thing.
The standard with this kind of thing is for the ruling bodies to rule in favour of the government. Especially, it's kind of a vague argument. It's an important argument, but it is quite vague. Like, you're just going to destroy the planet, and we've got a right to live on the planet. It's the best argument you can make.
The problem is, the government can, if that's the best the argument gets, the government can easily counter that and say, well, future generations have a right to have energy.
Yeah.
You know, they could easily counter with that, which then it's a he said, she said thing, right? Of like, well, my argument's more valid than yours.
Yeah.
So
I think it's very unlikely for it to move forward. But if it does, then I think that would be unprecedented. And who knows? At least in Norway, that could open the door to many
but
other.
Norway's entire kind of economy is built on oil, isn't it? I thought.
Well, I know that they do actually pump a fair amount into green sources of energy.
Yeah.
But it would just seem ironic that they're using this money from this oil money in order to improve their green resources. Mm. So that was one of the main arguments. And kind of on the back of that, if it was successful, maybe unlikely, maybe it's more of a protest as opposed to anything else, this legal action. But if it was successful, then would you see governments going into climate agreements and environmental agreements thinking, we can't promise too much here?
Yes.
Because if we don't manage to fulfill, then we'll have, Greenpeace on our hands.
Of course, there are many activists who would say already governments don't promise too much in these climate agreements. This combined with Trump and America pulling out of the Paris Accord makes you wonder if anybody in the coming years will bother to make any kind of promises regarding the environment, because if the next elected leader will just throw your deal in the bin, or if your own citizens will sue you and say your deal is invalid, or your deal allows them to prevent you from doing future things to benefit your economy, which is, I think, the primary concern of most governments, right? The economy is the big one. Then, yeah, you're right, it might discourage anything happening in the future.
Like the Paris Climate Agreement, that's not even, that's not legally binding in any way.
No.
So when Trump did just withdraw, it kind of made it seem obsolete almost, as in like, oh, there was no repercussions for just not doing it.
It's a bit like the United Nations.
Everyone
says, we're going to be good neighbours and peaceful, and then I'm going to war with that guy, and everyone's like, we're going to write a letter.
Yeah, we strongly disagree with this.
You want to try and enforce a sanction? Yeah. Yeah, it does seem a little bit like that. So that is the story, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. We will see what the implications are of this, and if it kind of sets a precedent. But I thought it was very interesting to see that, that you know, the activists were actually actively pursuing legal action against the government for it.
I like that. I think more people should try sue the government. Yeah, I mean, if anything can like hold them accountable, then I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, but then isn't the argument that in a representative democracy, the election is the way you decide rather than legal action against your government?
Yeah, I mean, and manifestos aren't legally binding in any way.
No.
But you, yeah, I don't know. Or maybe these agreements should have some actual penalty in price if you fail to adhere.
I mean, I'm all for every manifesto a government gets elected with to be legally binding, right? Even if it's a horrible one that I strongly disagree with, if they don't follow through on their manifesto.
You've just lied.
Then, I can say, I think every single government ever has probably done that.
Yeah, very true.
Very few have followed through. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm glad some recent governments haven't followed through on their manifestos. It's been quite a scary time for some people. But, you know.
We're going to make Mexico pay for it, so I have to throw
him that. He's got two more years. He can do it. He can do it.
It's going to happen.
Yeah, and then he'll build a wall across the Sahara.
I think it will, in fairness.
You think it will?
Yeah.
Or Mexico will pay?
Oh, no. No.
Oh, right, okay.
But the wall. The wall's going to go up.
Yeah. Did you see the thing recently about the wall prototypes they built? They've all got at least one major weakness, according to the government's own testing. Their own standards. They've all got easily exploitable weakness.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like the Death Star?
Yeah, kind of like that, yeah.
Just, yeah.
Oh, that'll happen next, though.
Hole in the wall! In a few...
Oh, I see what you've done there. You've left a big hole in it. That's the weakness.
That one's easy to spot. That one's 3 foot tall.
Oh, that's good. Well, one of the things we do every week is we always look at the comments on our YouTube videos.
Of course.
I take great pleasure in seeing what the viewers think of our videos. But this week, for the podcast, we've been looking at any standout comments on our recent videos.
Yeah.
Alex, did you find any?
I found quite a few.
So
a lot of these are from the most recent video, Mysterious Mysteries from the Deep Web.
Our Conspiracy Files video.
On the Conspiracy Files. Someone has made a suggestion for a video. He says, how about the missing sock conspiracy?
You know
when you put socks into a dryer?
One comes out.
And only one comes out. What happens?
Yep.
You know what? This is one of the first days in weeks that I've actually worn a matching pair of socks.
Ooh, congratulations.
I usually don't bother.
Yeah.
So
they're very fetching
invalid,
as well. You can't see them. But
invalid
they're very
conspiracy.
Fetching.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, people always say, you know, how do you think of your conspiracies? Well, comments, you know.
We do listen.
To see that in about
we do listen
months.
To your comments.
Yeah. Very true. So do you have any absolute corkers? No.
So someone has an idea of what was deleted from the Marianas Web. Remember the deepest part of the internet?
Oh, yes, yeah.
They said, rumour has it deleted scenes from the cancelled Shrek special, The Shrektacular Shrekening, lies deep in the Marianas Web. And to be honest, I think there's something in that.
Could that be our friend Dan?
This sounds like someone we know.
Yes.
I had to throw that one in there.
And the others.
And then someone else suggested that it wasn't Shrektacular Shrekening, it was Despacito's 2 to 100, and we should find it straight away. Yeah, you know the song?
I know the one.
Yeah, there's the sequel to that.
Very good.
And 100
Very good.
So I found those are the comments that stood out to me this week. And then birth date.
That's his username, says that Nibiru killed his dog and he's in a bunker. Doesn't make sense.
Well, I mean...
Don't know. I don't understand.
But we know from real researchers that Nibiru is having all kinds of strange effects on the planet, like volcanoes and all this, all these big storms are having.
Don't encourage this, Robert.
You know, it could have killed his dog. His dog could have... I don't know, maybe Nibiru operates on like a dog whistle level, you know. Yeah. Like we could hear Nibiru coming if only it was in our hearing range. No, I'm not sure we could. Well, I got some good comments related to space on our Has China Found a UFO video.
Yeah,
About, obviously, has China found an alien UFO and is it using it to retro-engineer new planes and stuff like that.
Independence Day style.
And, yes, exactly. And Ruj Mahinda, forgive me if I've got the name wrong.
Hello, Ruj.
Commented saying, it's never aliens until it is. I thought was quite profound on some level.
I think it also works as well for other topics, doesn't it? It never is until it is. It's quite a profound, regardless of aliens.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. One day it will be aliens. Mm. We just don't know when.
It never was the NSA until it was.
Yeah. I got on the same video, there was another comment that caught my eye. Lol, I thought this channel was dead, which is, it was dead, but now we've come back. Resurrected. There's a real compliment there.
That's true.
Someone else did say something actually very interesting, saying, if we are alone in this universe, then the universe is a huge waste of space.
Mm.
I mean, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
We're in the biggest sandbox ever, and we can't even get to 99.9% of it.
Unless maybe that's the test. If you're a religious person, you subscribe to a belief system that says we were created by some greater intelligence, then maybe we were created and put in an empty universe to see if we could conquer it.
Maybe.
Conquer it in a kind of metaphorical sense.
Yeah, it's literal conquering. Like, sounds a little bit messed up.
Yeah, that's not it. Like, we can explore it. But that's an interesting idea. Sad one. But.
I think it's from Carl Sagan, the quote where he says, either we're alone in the universe or we're not, and both options are equally terrifying.
Yeah.
That is a good quote.
I like that one.
Is that Carl? Yeah. I think it's Carl Sagan.
It sounds like Carl Sagan, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what I prefer.
Can you say it in his voice?
Either we're alone in the universe or we're... No, I can't.
That's not Carl Sagan.
He's got that kind of... I don't know. I think it's like the old technology gives something extra to his voice. Or maybe it just was his voice.
He did have a great voice. Yeah. He had a fantastic voice.
Betamax. And earlier.
I have one more comment, which I thought was very interesting. Dr. Avalanche, on this same video about China UFOs. Everything I have bought off eBay that was made in China doesn't work. The Heaven's Eye thing, which is a giant satellite, then, by my deduction, is just a giant piece of crap.
So, I can see your logic. There's definitely an inference that if what you have from China doesn't work, then logically,
It might be huge. That. It might be the biggest satellite ever, but it might not work.
Yeah. Just stop buying stuff from those people on eBay. You're being taken for a ride.
Exactly.
They're tuning in, SETI. They're listening on this brand new satellite, massive thing. It's like, have you picked up anything? It's like, classic FM? I think I've got...
Leave some bad seller review.
Although I do think that's a very dismissive attitude to have towards China. I mean, they've built some things that worked, like, fireworks?
Like most of the products we use.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure this, it's Samsung, which is Korean, I guess, but I'm sure there are parts in this that were made in China, right?
Yeah.
There's got to be bits in here.
Same with all Apple phones, probably.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
I reckon that's the case.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, the Apple screens come from Samsung phones, I think. They buy the screens from Samsung.
Do they?
Yeah, because Samsung makes them.
I know Samsung makes better screens. I didn't realize.
I think Apple buys the screens from Samsung.
Oh, man. Yeah. It's like all those energy companies when they buy energy off each other.
Yeah.
And you say, ours are cheaper because we're selling our energy to this other company and their bills are more expensive because they're having to cover the cost of buying it from us. It's like, that's
we all do
really
the same.
Weird.
And it's just about the infrastructure you have in a certain area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there aren't that many places to get oil, so we're all buying it from the same supplier. Yeah. Oh, that's crazy. Although that's going back to climate change again, one quick comment. That reminds me about the whole buying points. There's like a point system, isn't there? It was back with the Kyoto Accord, I think, in 1997. There's a system where governments can buy, like, points from other governments.
You can pollute, and it doesn't matter as much because you've bought your pollution.
Yeah, you pay a country that's doing better than you are in terms of cutting its carbon emissions.
Yeah.
And buy some of their carbon emissions off them, which is a bizarre system.
Because a lot of those countries that wouldn't be polluting anyway. So
yeah.
So buying, yeah. Yeah. It just doesn't make any sense.
They turned pollution into a commodity. What a time to be alive.
Exactly.
Well, moving away from climate change, but going back to the news, I have a piece of news that caught my eye today. Actually, I think it caught all our eyes today, which is about Australia doing something wonderful in the field of public health. And according to the headlines, Australia will be the first country in the world to eliminate cervical cancer.
Good on them.
Which, that is a striking headline.
Really incredible, cool. Yeah. And then, in particular, I think the fact is that cases of cervical cancer in Australia would drop to four in 100,000 by 2035, which is a potential elimination threshold.
Wow. Do they know what it is now, currently? Is there information on that?
And I wish I'd written it down, so I don't have to scroll through the article.
Down to 4 in 100,000, okay.
In 100,000 people, yes.
What I never get with these kind of things is they say, like, oh yeah, we'll have figured it out by then. By that point, it's going to be down to this level. Mm. But, like, if they know that, why don't they just make it that now? Like, what, if they know, do you know what I mean? Like, how, if they're going to, clearly there's some kind of obstacle they need to overcome to get to that. But if they know what the obstacle is, how do they know when they're going to overcome
that's
that
That's a good
obstacle?
Point. What are the obstacles?
I imagine the obstacles are partly to do with, one of the hurdles to overcome is death, right? So there are people now who are of a generation and of an age who will develop cervical cancer within the next 10 to 15 years because medical treatments haven't advanced to the point where you can prevent cervical cancer in someone who is already 50, for example.
Right.
Whereas you can prevent cervical cancer developing in people who are not yet 20. Those people, I imagine one major thing that's delaying this progress is the fact that there are people in the next 10 years who are likely to develop cervical cancer. Mm. And I think particularly cervical cancer because it's often caused by HPV, the human papillomavirus, I think that's how you say it, which can be vaccinated against.
Right,
and it's done to teenage girls, 12 to 20 years old. And that's the best time to vaccinate against it.
Is that just in Australia or is that over here as well?
Our NHS offers free vaccines for HPV to girls aged 12 to 20. I think there was a bit of a controversy a few years ago.
It should be for boys as well.
Yeah. But I think the expense of the vaccine is so great and it's so unlikely to develop. Boys are so unlikely to get HPV that it's not worth vaccinating every single boy in the country. Whereas girls are so far more likely to get it.
Yeah, I guess in terms of back to the original point, another reason could be that it would take so long. Could be that, you know, there's a process of education, surely. So if part of it is that everyone will get this virus, everyone should get the vaccine, and surely it takes that extra bit of time to make sure that everyone knows that that is something they should be getting. It's almost like that trickle-down effect.
That's true, yeah.
Again,
yeah,
back to going down to future generations as well. But
one thing I don't know
once it becomes a norm, then...
Yeah. Yeah, because I know the vaccine is widely available in Australia, but I don't know if it's free, you know, which might be a hurdle to overcome. Obviously, like you say, people have to be educated to the point where they plan ahead to have the vaccine, to afford the vaccine, perhaps. Again, I don't know if Australia's health system is as affordable as ours is. But yeah, I think that's an incredible achievement.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Definitely.
And crazy.
I really hope
that they could do that.
I really hope it's true. Like, as in, I hear a lot of kind of big headlines like this, like, oh, we're going to cure cancer, or there's like some amazing medical breakthrough always pops up on my newsfeed, but then I just like don't hear anything about it, and I don't never know, like, did that actually happen? Like, what went wrong? Did it actually happen? So I hope it is true.
Yeah, a lot of these things are announced a bit prematurely. So yes, they announce these scientific breakthroughs after several years of research, but there's still another decade's worth of development and research to go into having an actual medicine or, you know, a process where you can implement this discovery.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know about you, but I've had friends who've done PhDs in science and particularly biology, and they're doing wonderful things. And I'm just like, oh, that's amazing, you've cured malaria. And they say, well, you know, we know how to cure it. We just need to figure out how to make the cure. You know, that kind of thing. Mm. It's just like, we know the principle of the cure. We just haven't figured out the actual thing. And then they say, sometimes they say, oh, we've got it. We just need the funding to develop it and then mass produce it. And that's really complicated to get.
Fair enough.
I see. So, yeah, but I mean, it's exciting. The problem with cancer, of course, is that it affects us all. And there are so many different types of cancer. It's just amazing that they might be able to, you know, defeat one, you know?
I guess if we go back to the conspiracy angle. Mm. Do they want to defeat cancer?
That's a very good question. That's a very good question.
Big pharma, yeah.
Oh, this would be an interesting test case, right? Because all these conspiracy theorists for many years have believed that governments and big pharma have been sitting on a cure for cancer. Although that's not, like I mentioned, there are many types of cancer, so I'm not sure which cancer they're referring to.
Just all cancer.
Isn't it important? Isn't it a significant breakthrough that they've announced this? Because it's an admission of a way, you know, an elimination of a cancer. Therefore, the government is not, the Australian government at least, is not sitting on.
But maybe Big Pharma didn't know about it until they released this, and that's why these things never get end up getting made, or they never get finalized, because Big Pharma's going to take them aside now and be like, "Oi, actually, shut up."
True, we might forget by the next news cycle, and then
maybe
10 years time, be like, "Didn't Australia get rid of cervical cancer?" And you're like, "No, they didn't.
No, they didn't."
They're focusing on other cancers. This one's not profitable enough.
Yeah,
I mean, it's an interesting point, right? It's a very interesting point because the price of drugs just keeps going up, right? And we've had recent instances of at least two different companies, right, who skyrocketed the price of their drugs in America.
Yeah.
And there was that guy, can't remember his name.
What's his name?
The one who recently did it.
He's considered the most hated man.
Oh, Martin Shkreli.
Yeah, there was him, but not him. The other guy, whose name I cannot remember. Who said it was a moral duty to turn a profit for his shareholders.
Yeah, I did hear that quote. Yeah.
Okay. And then he was saying that moral duty outweighed his moral duty to treat or to provide the treatment affordably.
Wow, okay.
And he's just like, well, that was his implication at least. Yeah. When it comes to cancer treatments, you make a very good point. Like, is it profitable and therefore would this actually happen by 2035?
I am playing devil's advocate there, by the way.
Of course you are, yeah.
Me too.
We're all playing devil's advocate.
But it's interesting, isn't it? Like the conspiracy is that Big Pharma or the government has the cure for cancer and are just keeping it under wraps. But I just think if that's true, that's actually kind of scary if it was just announced that all cancer they know how to cure all cancer. And I'd be interested to know if that happened tomorrow, how we deal with that kind of thing in terms of overpopulation, how many more people wouldn't be dying every year if the cure for all cancer was just made available and was, you know, freely available. Like, it sounds like that could easily slip into some kind of weird dystopian setting where, I don't know, if you can't afford the treatment, then you're going to die, but only the rich survive kind of thing. Yeah. I don't know.
Did you ever see that film called In Time with Justin Timberlake and Amanda Seyfried, I was saying?
Yeah.
Similar principle. But for whatever reason, lifespan is, you're able to trade it.
Yes.
And the wealthy have more because they can afford it. Yeah.
What was that other film? Was it The Island? That was kind of a fairly similar principle.
Yeah,
they're all kind of...
Spoilers for anyone who wants to watch The Island from 2003 or whatever it was. They're all
I can't really remember, but I think there's roughly the same kind of principle. They can buy a clone.
Yeah, they're all clones on the island, and they are harvested for organs.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
yeah. Presumably, I can't remember. They die, I guess, if their organs get harvested. Is that?
And then is there a lottery? They get taken off the island. Is that right?
Oh, right. It's a bit like a Logan's Run scenario where it's like, you've won, but actually...
Yeah.
You
maybe. Was that it?
Maybe, yeah.
We're thinking some Black Mirror.
They escape. I think you're right. I think they're chosen to get off the island. They think they're going on holiday, but actually... Or whatever. But actually, they're going to be harvested. Mm.
But human organ harvesting is a real thing.
It's a real thing, yeah.
Yeah.
That's quite messed up.
There's protesters. There's lots of posters up, actually, in Chinatown. Yeah. against it in China and providing information. Although it's all written in Chinese.
Is it a big industry in China, is it?
I don't know, but I assume so if they're protesting in London about Chinese organising.
Oh dear, that's very sad.
I reckon so.
But I mean, what are you gonna do with 1.5 billion people? What are you gonna do? You can't grow that many organs in the lab.
That is terrible.
Right? I'm playing devil's advocate. Obviously, I don't think that. When you say organ harvesting, I always think of that Monty Python sketch from The Meaning of Life.
Yeah.
So horrible. But he used to have nightmares about that when I was a kid. Forgive me. That was my phone going off. For everybody who's interested. Let's use that opportunity to move on, shall we?
Okay.
I think you have a quiz for us, Martin.
I do indeed. Alex, press your one to... Okay, that's Alex.
There we go.
Robin. There we go.
There we go. So this is a first past the post kind of thing.
I think so.
Yeah,
okay. UK election quiz.
Okay.
it's not about the UK
what
election, don't worry. But yeah, so first one to buzz in gets to answer. If they get it wrong, then the other one can buzz in. And just keep a tally of your own points, because I won't remember.
Can we ask for clues? Is that allowed?
If you think this is really, really difficult and you need a clue,
right.
You can say, but we're not going to get a clue on everyone, because that'd be mad.
Oh, okay.
Hopefully we won't need one.
I don't think we'll need clues, but I'm just saying.
Okay.
I think we'll definitely need clues.
For some of them, you probably want a clue. Okay. Others, not so much. Okay. Ready?
Okay, yeah.
First question. What date did Heath Ledger die?
What date?
Like, closest wins.
January the 28th, 2008?
It's 22nd.
Six days away.
That's so close, you wouldn't have got closer, so I guess the point.
Okay. Well, thank you. Fine. Very close. Thank you very much.
That's how this quiz works, by the way. Alex, you didn't get a go because you were so close.
I tried to. yeah.
Okay. Question two. Misogamy, or misogyny, is the hatred of what?
Like women? Misogyny? Sorry?
Men?
No.
Damn.
Neither, you're right.
Old
misogamy.
People.
Misogamy?
Yes.
Misogamy.
Misogamy. Is it soggy socks?
Marriage.
Correct, Robin. 2-0. I mean, you both got a couple of goes there.
Yeah, I think I'm not sure I get a point for that.
This is a bit of a rogue quiz so far. So
yeah,
calm it
down. Well, it's because I thought about polygamy.
Very good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just added bit of colour. Robin's just got married, so.
There's my ring.
Why are you looking that up, Robin?
So whilst you were at your brother's wedding, I was actually getting married. Not the same day, but you know. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Misogyny.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Martin.
That's very good.
Join the club. You're the old one out now.
Actually, that's true. When's it going to happen?
Yeah, no pressure.
Oh.
I don't know. Let's give us a date.
He's married to his work.
That's I can't announce it on the conspiracy podcast.
Get people turning up.
What a way to propose on the all-time conspiracies podcast.
Not for a while. Okay.
Yeah. Not for a while.
Yeah. It's all right. They always forgive you in the end.
Okay.
Next question.
Question three. Enough embarrassment.
Alex, I mean, I would say you've gone red, but you're pretty tanned from your holiday, so.
Yeah.
Okay, question three.
Yeah.
Cathay Pacific Airline completely embarrassed themselves. I think it was probably last week. Why was this?
They embarrassed themselves.
They completely embarrassed themselves last week.
They couldn't take passengers to Cathay.
That is not correct.
Damn it.
They completely embarrassed themselves. Did they run out of food on the plane?
Ooh, that's a good one.
That was not correct.
Oh.
Would you like a clue for this one?
Yes, please.
And then you can have another round of answers.
Okay, that's very kind.
Okay. They made an error to do with the planes.
Oh.
Did they take people to the wrong destination?
No.
Oh, that would have been mad.
I've no idea.
Okay. So they actually spelt their name wrong on the side of the plane.
Oh. Their own name.
Their own name.
On
yeah.
the side of the yep. plane.
They did. Yeah. Oh, they missed out on I in Pacific.
Oh, right.
I think it was the I.
Pacific.
Yeah, I think that was it. Yeah. So it remains 2-0 to Robin. Cool. Question four.
Thank you.
Okay, this one's going to be closest win, so you both get a go.
Yeah.
But, you know, whoever buzzes first can get the first go. What is the circumference of the Earth at the equator in miles?
I don't even want to guess. You can guess first. at the equator?
26,000 miles.
I'm going to go 25,000 miles.
It's 24,900.
Yes!
Oh, no.
2-1.
Oh. Alex.
Yes.
He's got two now, right?
He's got one.
Oh,
yeah, 2-1.
One.
Yeah, you're winning 2-1.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry, Alex. Well, I'm so sorry I'm beating you. Yeah. Not for long.
Yeah. Question five.
So annoyed by that.
Question five. President Kennedy was killed on the 22nd of November 1963, as we all know. But when was Lee Harvey Oswald assassinated?
24th.
Robin? Any?
Well, I have a feeling Alex is right. So I'll say 25th.
No, he was right. It's 24th.
Yeah, yeah.
2-0.
I feel like I had an unfair advantage.
So are you doing a conspiracy for us today, Alex? And what's the topic?
Yeah. I wrote this way before I knew that, by the way.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Fair enough. So, sorry, Robin.
That's all right.
I don't mind. Question six. In Peru this week, two bizarrely named men ran for position of mayor in the town of Yungar in the Andes. Hmm. What about their names caused outrage?
Did they have the same name?
They did not have the same name.
Oh, but there was an election recently in South America where they had similar names, didn't they?
Did they?
Yeah, I swear that happened.
Because imagine that on the ballot box, like who you're voting
for. Oh, actually,
voting.
This is either you know or you don't really. It'd be hard to guess.
Do they both have women's names?
They do not both have women's names. Oh. So the incumbent was called Hitler Alba. So he was putting up campaign posters with slogans such as Hitler Returns. And his opponent, who was trying to take him down, was called Lenin Vladimir Rodriguez.
Wow.
Can make it out, could you?
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Lenin and Hitler.
Hitler Returns.
Hitler Returns, yeah.
Is he quite like...
And he said vote for the good Hitler on posters and stuff, yeah.
That's actually quite clever.
Yeah. It's quite funny. But in fact,
wow.
Hitler Returns.
I know. Yeah.
That was the sequel they never made to World War II.
But apparently, it's quite common to have like names of famous, the parents call their kids names of famous just people from around the world without really knowing much about them.
But I suppose, and that's nothing to do with all the Nazis who went to South America.
Could have heard it around. Yeah. But there's in the news article I read that was related to this, so there are people quite a few people were calling their kids Osama as well. So,
wow.
So yeah, Peru. If you want a dictator's name to get away with it. Then.
Well, it's an interesting question, just to kind of derail the quiz for a moment. Just like, should we try to take ownership of names that have bad associations to kind of remove the negativity from them?
What do you mean, after a certain amount of time, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you don't want to lessen the atrocities that Hitler and Stalin and committed, but at the same time, do you want a specific name to be a shorthand for terror and evil? Is that a good thing to do?
I mean, that's an interesting question. I think as well, like, names change over time.
They do.
So, Hitler would stand out either way, I think.
Because it's uncommon these days.
It's uncommon.
Also, it was his surname, and now he's using it as a first name.
That's true.
That's also unusual.
Good point.
I think that there is something to be said, though, about as you say, remembering the atrocities and not glorifying a name in any way, but going, okay, well... this name's associated with that. And so you don't want to call your kid something that is associated with something that's horrendous and bad. That's the other thing. I don't think it's necessary that it's particularly offensive. I wouldn't find it particularly offensive, but you wouldn't want to, the name association. I mean, when you're thinking of children's names, one of the things you do is think of the people you've associated with that name when they're kids.
Yeah.
So you've got to think, oh, that person in my school called Alex was an absolute... idiots.
I don't want to call my child that. Yeah,
I'm not going to call my child Alex or Robin.
That, isn't it? Yeah.
So just for a name association, I think it can be a bit of a tough one.
Well, thank you for your thoughts.
But if you go back, if you like leave it for a long time,
then
I think it does change, doesn't it? Like Alexander the Great.
True.
He probably did some pretty bad stuff as well.
That's an interesting point. But he is also known as Alexander the Great.
That's true. Yeah.
So,
got a lot to
you're right, though. He almost certainly committed some kind of genocide at some point.
What about
Great genocide.
People are called Genghis.
Oh, that's an interesting one.
Because he did do some nasty stuff.
He did some horrible stuff. Yeah. But then there are people who do love him, who think he was awesome. So, much like I'm sure there are political leaders today who are currently in power, who some people love and other people hate. So some parents might love to call their child after Barack Obama or Donald Trump, whilst other people would come across that name and think, why would you curse your child with that name, that association?
True.
Interesting question.
True, but calling your kid Hitler is slightly different, isn't it?
Hitler is, Hitler's different because it's a universal thing. But yeah, Genghis Khan. I mean, of course, someone Khan, that's got no real
association,
because that's a title, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's lots of people who have names like that. But yeah, Genghis is fairly specific evocations, at least in the West. I don't know what the statistics are like for current Mongolia, if there are many Genghises around.
Interesting to find out.
Yeah.
Anyway, two all?
Two all.
Is it two all?
Two all, question
I thought you were
seven.
Overtaking me, yeah.
Okay. True or false? So you can both choose true or both choose false. True or false? Water spirals down a plug hole in different directions in the northern and southern hemisphere.
True.
False.
It's false.
Dang!
Oh, three C's to Robin.
Is that false?
Because it's a sphere.
Yeah.
Like... Yeah. So the direction is the same regardless of where you're stood.
Whatever, Robin, move on. Yeah. I swear I've seen videos on YouTube of it going the different way.
Also, I'm sure that was a joke in The Simpsons, wasn't it? I'm sure.
I think it was a joke
in The Simpsons.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's move on.
Yep.
Okay, question eight. Okay, this is a news article
from
last week as well, and it's filling in the blanks, okay?
Mm.
Okay. So the title is, Fishmonger Used Blank to make fish look fresh.
Fishmonger.
Curry powder?
No.
Oh.
It's going to be something to make it shiny. PVA glue.
I love it, but it's not that. Do you want to have one more guess each?
Yeah.
Sure. Well, it's going to be some kind of colouring, I imagine, to make the meat look white or bleach.
That would be terrible. Good. Actually, that's a good guess, but it's not bleach.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do agree with that logic. Maybe he put them in jelly. Jelly?
It wasn't jelly. Oh. It was. Fishmonger used googly eyes to make fish look fresher.
Yeah, that's annoying.
Yeah, googly eyes. I mean, how he thought he'd get away with that? People going home and just taking googly eyes.
Googly eyes going.
Yeah.
It's kind of entrepreneurial. I mean, given points for trying.
Yeah, I think he had his license for a bit.
Oh, right. Does anyone eat fish eyes? That's the part of the fish you don't eat, right?
I'm sure some people do.
Fish heads you don't really go for, do you?
No. So, it's not going to do any harm, is it? Unless there's germs on them.
I assume that they were pretty old. I mean, no one's going to... Those eyes move, don't they?
Yeah.
I don't understand how that makes it... It's a mouldy fish.
Yeah, with googly eyes.
Paper's googly eyes, and you just look at it. Oh, that looks fresh.
Flies around
it. Remember, son, don't eat a fish unless you can see the whites of its eyes.
And you shake it and its eyes move around.
How amazing is that, man? That's wicked.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm glad he identified the eyes as the key to making a fish.
Oh, good. So it's still 3-2. It remains.
Okay,
question nine.
Ooh.
Which army rank is higher, lieutenant or captain?
Captain. Captain.
Captain's correct.
Yes.
4-2.
Thank you for waiting.
I knew that as well.
Yeah.
So,
well, thanks for waiting. I did go before my buzzer. You could have buzzed in and interrupted.
He did cheat, though, I will just say.
Yeah. I left a pause for you to jump in there because I
he said the
didn't buzz.
First,
but, yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, no, you're right, Alex. You okay?
You've got one more chance.
It's
you fine. Can do
one
this.
One more chance to get some dignity back.
He hasn't lost any dignity.
Okay, Alex. Yeah.
Okay.
Question 10.
Okay.
Which happened first? A. The Roswell incident. B. Israel being declared an independent state.
Oh. Oh, that was a question.
The Roswell incident.
Correct.
Yes.
Were you going to go for that too?
No. I was going to get it wrong. Because the Roswell was July, wasn't it?
Yeah.
47. So when was Israel? December 47?
May 48.
Wow.
It was 48?
Yeah, apparently so.
It's very close.
Yeah.
That is very interesting. Are the two events related?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I just thought they were quite momentous events in the conspiracy world and not the conspiracy world.
Mm.
So, yeah. Do you want to go for the tiebreaker anyway? There's no tiebreak, but I'll put another one just in case
4-3.
You were. Yeah. I mean, the quiz is over. Robin's won. Sorry, Alex.
Have I?
Yeah, you've won.
4-3.
4-3.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was 1 point. I thought it was 3-2.
No, it's 4-3.
No.
Yeah,
there you go.
I think it was 4-3.
Yeah.
I'll take it if you give it to me, yeah.
Tiebreaker.
And the quiz points too.
How far away in miles?
Mm-hmm.
another miles one. Mm-hmm. Is Las Vegas from Area 51?
Oh, well, that's a good one.
Ooh.
In miles.
I'm not good at, like, that kind of direction.
General
thing.
Knowledge,
the
yeah.
Best that, the best I can do is wait for Robin to give his answer and then just go one above and one below.
The thing is, I'm really bad with American states because they're all so big.
Yeah, exactly.
Some of them have counties which are bigger than our country. So I'm really bad this at scale true. Here. But I'm going to assume they're not that far away. So I'm going to say 120 miles.
Okay.
Wrong.
I'm going to say 130 miles.
I love it, Alex. I love it. It's 156 miles.
Yes. Oh, there you go. Yeah. You got the points.
So you're doing the Price is Right tactic, aren't you?
Yep.
£49? £49 won.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. I was worried, though, you're going to say it's 250 miles.
Well, I was thinking, initially, it would miles be... Away, yeah. I was going to say 200 miles, but, yeah.
You would have still been closer. Oh, no, you wouldn't.
Yeah. No.
So there you go, my maths is terrible.
I don't want to take a risk. Yeah.
Well, thank you for that quiz. That was really fun. Next week, I promise you'll get a go.
Oh, good. Are we switching up each week?
Well, okay. Maybe. Do you winner we'll stays on?
Winner stays on, yeah.
Robin V. Martin.
We could do that. We could have the champion conspirator.
It was a tie in the end. It was a tie.
No, you won.
You got the tiebreaker. That's what counts. So, I'm excited now, Alex, because it's time for your slightly deeper look into a conspiracy. We looked at news items.
Yep.
But Alex is going to explore in slightly greater depth an older piece that occasionally crops up in the news, but I think most people would not consider this particular conspiracy to be news.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it came up in the news last year, didn't it? Because the US finally unredacted... not all of the files, but some of the files relating to the JFK assassination. And we made a video on that. So I just wanted to go over the JFK assassination and particularly focus on Jack Ruby. Mm. Remember Jack Ruby?
Ruby.
Of course.
Good old Jack.
He was the man who assassinated Lee Harvey Oswald on when, Robin?
The 24th of November,
1963. Yeah. And, because... Generally, the idea behind the conspiracy is that this was part of a large conspiracy that killed the president, and Lee Harvey Oswald might have just been a kind of fool guy, a patsy in this. And Jack Ruby, if he was involved in the conspiracy, he would have definitely known something about that.
Overlooked. He is often overlooked. I like the fact that you used the word assassinated Lee Harvey Oswald there, as opposed to just murdered.
Sure.
There's an implication there, isn't there? So yes, tell us more.
Okay, so let's go through the assassination. So at 12:30 p.m. on November 22nd, 1963, while he was riding in his presidential motorcade through downtown Dallas, U.S. President John F. Kennedy was assassinated. He was shot and killed. He was shot once in the back and once in the head, and he was declared dead 30 minutes later. And less than 3 hours after the assassination occurred, Lyndon B. Johnson was sworn in as the 36th president of the United States. 3 hours afterwards. Mm. That's so quick.
They move fast.
He was on Air Force One, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. With Jackie Kennedy.
I've seen Jackie.
Stood next to him in...
It's good. Yeah.
Stood next to her. Stood next to him in the same outfit, same clothes.
Covered in his blood,
Covered in his blood. Pretty messed up.
I thought someone would change her, didn't he?
No, she insisted.
Yeah, she did. I think she did, didn't she? Yeah.
Genuinely.
Weird. She wanted people to see what they'd done to him, apparently, which is morbid.
Very loyal.
Very loyal. So Lee Harvey Oswald, he's an order filler at the Texas School Book Depository. He was arrested several hours after the assassination for the murder of a police officer named J.D. Tibbett. So I think... He might have stopped him from leaving the building, this police officer?
No, it was several streets away in the suburbs. He stopped him in the street, and witnesses heard, I think, two gunshots. I could be wrong about that. Could have been just one gunshot. And then saw Tibbett on the ground and a man running away who they later identified as Lee Harvey Oswald.
I wonder just a question. Was Lee Harvey Oswald, did he kill him with the same gun? Or did he have a couple of weapons on him?
No. I think it was a pistol.
So he had a rifle and a pistol on him.
Well, the rifle was left in the depository.
Okay.
And the pistol, presumably, was on his person.
Was on him, Okay.
So he was later arrested and charged with assassinating the president. However, he denied shooting anyone and insisted that he was just a fool guy in part of a much larger conspiracy. So, I mean, that's his word. So, yeah. And then on November 24th, when he was being transported from jail into an armoured car, Oswald was shot and killed by a local nightclub owner by the name of Jack Ruby, taking any secrets he might have had to the grave.
Oh, dramatic. I like
dramatic.
It.
And then Jack Ruby was taken into custody, and on March 14th, 1964, Ruby was convicted of murder with malice and was sentenced to death.
As opposed to murder without malice.
Yeah, I guess, you know.
Manslaughter, maybe.
Manslaughter or... Does that make a difference?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Murder with malice. However, this is where the story gets interesting.
Mm-hmm.
A Texas Court of Appeals overturned the conviction and said that issued him a retrial for it.
Yeah.
Could have been something suspicious there, or it could have just been... I think his defence was a bit rubbish. Defence attorney he initially hired was a bit rubbish. I don't know the specific reason why he was
downgraded from murder with malice to murder with jollity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
However, before his retrial could take place, he was diagnosed with cancer in his lungs, brain, and liver.
Ooh.
And died of a pulmonary embolism just 3 weeks later.
Whoa.
Yeah. Before his second trial could take place. And he died in Parkland Hospital, the same facility where Oswald had died and where President Kennedy had been pronounced dead.
Wow.
And he technically died an innocent man because he died in this kind of no man's land between trials where he was technically unconvicted. Ooh. So he was technically innocent when he died.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Because all I know about Jack Ruby is that he was a nightclub owner and obviously shot Lee Harvey Oswald.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
That's all I know.
And then there were rumours about him being involved with Mafia.
Yeah.
He definitely had connections to the criminal underworld. So, let's go into who was Jack Ruby? Who was he? This mystery enigma.
Yeah.
So he was a local nightclub owner, and you know the Warren Report, which was President Johnson created after, you know, to get to the bottom of what happened with JFK's assassination.
Yes.
15 years after that investigation, where they said that, you know, Lee Harvey Oswald was just a lone gunman, nothing suspicious happened, they said that Jack Ruby did have connections with the criminal underworld, but he wasn't like a mobster and he still acted alone, basically. But 15 years after the Warren Report, a House Select Committee on Assassinations, they said that Ruby had a significant number of associations and direct and indirect contacts with underworld figures. And one of these figures was the Campisi family.
Mm.
And that was a mafia family in Chicago.
Mm.
And he visited Joe Campisi's restaurant the day before President Kennedy was shot.
Mm.
And then Joe Campisi and his wife visited him in prison when he was arrested
later
on for 10 minutes.
Mm.
So that's interesting. So he visited a mobster before the Kennedy assassination, and then after he shot Oswald when he was in jail, he was visited by a mobster. So that's interesting. And then that same House Select Committee on assassinations in 1979, they also said in that report that Kennedy was probably assassinated as a result of a conspiracy. So they went against what the Warren report said previously.
Mm.
Which is also very interesting. However, Ruby's motives that he gives, he basically just said that his motive for killing him was because he was distraught over President Kennedy's death. He was really a big fan of President Kennedy. And he said that he wanted to help the city of Dallas redeem itself in the eyes of the public.
Wow.
Which is an interesting way of going about it.
I mean, it's a very Texan thing to do.
Yeah,
shooting him live on the news. Yeah,
he also said that he wanted to save Mrs. Kennedy the discomfiture of coming back to trial. So he didn't want her to have to sit there and watch this man stand trial. So he was "I'll just kill him now."
Going for the pity vote there.
Yeah, and then when he was on his deathbed, so when you know he had the perfect opportunity to come clean if there was any conspiracy, he still said that. He alone was responsible for the murder of Lee Harvey Oswald, and he said there's nothing to hide, there was no one else involved. So that, so he never said that there was a conspiracy, basically. So what do you guys think?
I guess the question was Jack Ruby a lone gunman? Another lone gunman involved in this case, or was he working with or for somebody?
Yeah, no, it's a really interesting one. The fact that he's saying that he wants to, you know, I'm not sure that the wanting to help Jackie Kennedy out, or wanting, what was the phrase, wanting to restore
the image of Dallas.
Yeah, I mean,
redeem itself in the eyes of the public.
Yeah,
what does that mean? I mean, what does that actually mean? Redeem it? So, redeem what?
A president's been killed in Dallas, and he's, you know, wants to get justice. You know,
that's as if the city of Dallas has killed President Kennedy.
In a way, there's like, oh, he died on our watch, you know, on our home turf. That's kind of embarrassing. But you have to be primed to already think that way.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think many people... I assume many people living in Dallas at the time, their first thought wasn't, oh, this is going to hit the tourism industry. Oh.
Yeah. In fact, it's done wonders. Everyone's going to see the plaza and the tours, aren't they?
That book depository is a hotspot.
But it's also like... He was hanging around the prison where Lee Harvey Oswald was being kept for quite a while, I think.
Yeah, waiting for them to bring him out.
And he said that it was just a spur of the moment decision as he stepped out. Mm. But what were you doing there? If you were really sad, you'd go home and drink, you know, or go to one of your nightclubs.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I can't imagine him.
Maybe it wasn't.
It seemed calculated.
Maybe it wasn't Dallas he was trying to redeem. Maybe it was the mob he was trying to redeem. Because we all know the rumours about JFK getting elected in 1960 with the help of the mafia. I think to the point where historians generally think it's true, don't they?
Yeah.
I think that these are rumours that have been more or less proven. But I'm not going to, you know, commit myself to that because I'm not a historian. But maybe that's it. Maybe the meeting with the mob guy was... before the assassination was purely coincidental. Jack Ruby was involved with the mob. He'd been meeting them quite frequently, you know? I don't know, was it unusual that he met that guy? Or was that a frequent occurrence?
Apparently he was like a frequent, you know, visitor of that restaurant. But it's still a bit of a coincidence, isn't it?
But if you assume it was a coincidence, but he was involved with the mob, then JFK, who was like the mob's man to a certain extent, if they helped him get elected, gets assassinated the next day, the mob guy speaks to Jack Ruby, says, "This is embarrassing.
Yeah,
you're like, we're the mafia. You're not supposed to mess with the mafia, and our president has been killed."
That's like, true.
You gotta send a message.
I think you look at the other bit of evidence. You know, you're saying when he was on his deathbed and didn't say anything. I mean, why would he? Why would he? I mean, he wouldn't have a guilt complex for killing Lee Harvey Oswald, surely.
Yeah, that's true.
There wouldn't be any reason for him to suddenly be like, it was the mob.
Did he have a family? Exactly. Would they have been threatened?
Exactly. I don't think he had kids, but I'm sure he had people close to him that the mob could have threatened if he ever came clean.
Yeah.
It's an interesting one. There's also the argument that the government hired the mob to take out Harvey Oswald.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because... Lee Harvey Oswald was part of a conspiracy, but it was the Soviet Union that had, like, hired him to take out the president.
Right.
Mm.
And the Americans basically had to convince the public that Lee Harvey Oswald was a lone gunman, so they couldn't allow him to testify and say that this was carried out on the orders of the USSR.
Of course.
Because that could, you know, spark an international nuclear war. Because you've got an interesting point to note is that I think it was FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover said a quote from him is, "The thing I'm concerned about is having something issued so that we can convince the public that Oswald is the real assassin." That's like an on record quote.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah,
that he said. So I think they wanted to paint Lee Harvey Oswald as a kind of lone gunman after he was killed. And one of the arguments for that is that because Lee Harvey Oswald was working for the USSR.
Mm.
Yeah. And he did live in the USSR at one point. And he had visited the Cuban embassy in Mexico a few weeks before, or the Russian embassy.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
So maybe. What do you think of that?
That's a really interesting theory, actually.
And the government hired the mob to take him out so he wouldn't be able to testify that,
basically. And they hired the mob to so there's no trace of Oswald's murder to the government.
Yeah.
It makes sense. There's definitely a link there. Whether it's true or not, it's another matter. But especially being in Cuba and living in the USSR, it definitely adds to the weight of evidence, doesn't it?
So just to clarify, is the motivation of the government to avoid war with Russia by not having a public expose in the trial of Russia's involvement? In which case, what was Russia's aim? Obviously, killing the American president is always cool if you're a Soviet leader. But presumably they didn't want LBJ.
No. And apparently they were very worried when this happened that it would spark an international conflict, obviously. So there's the other theory that basically he wasn't hired by Russia.
Yeah.
But he wanted to get their attention and he wanted to show his loyalty to them, basically.
Yeah.
And, there was a risk that he would have stood up in trial and said, I did this on behalf of the USSR.
And so they had to get rid of him.
And so they had to get rid of him.
I think that's quite possibly. He could have been the lone gunman, but they still have to get rid of him so that it doesn't escalate.
Quite possibly, maybe.
I don't know.
But it's interesting. There's a lot into the JFK conspiracy. This is just one aspect of it. There's also the magic bullet. Was there more than one gunman at the scene?
Yeah.
The smoke over the grassy knoll and stuff like that.
Grassy knoll, yep.
The extra shots that were heard.
Did you know that there was a US sniper called Carlos Hathcock who was allegedly the best US sniper in history? I think he's on record as having the longest confirmed kill.
The longest confirmed kill?
Yeah, just took at the forever. Time. As in longest distance.
Oh, right, sorry.
That's surely changed loads of times with technology.
Maybe he had the record at one point.
At the time.
But he went to the site where he was taken, the shot, and he genuinely believed that it was an impossible shot. Could not be made.
From the book depository, from Oswald's angle.
Yeah.
Really?
Wow, he thought that was...
Because I've seen docs where people have asked, because he comes around the corner, doesn't he? He comes from the left and comes around.
Comes towards the book depository, then turns
and then away. And
away
people ask, why didn't they shoot him when he was coming towards him, when he was a lot closer?
Yeah.
And the reason is because if someone's really close to you and moving, it's much harder to get your shot right. Whereas if they're further away, if they're further away but going in a straight line, like away from you, it's much easier to take the shot because they're not moving.
I see. And then after the recall, it's easier to readjust back onto them.
Exactly. Rather than if they're coming towards you and then round the corner.
That's interesting.
Mm. Yeah. So that, I don't know, but that from the angles that that I saw, it seemed like it was makeable.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting. Maybe there's no details on why he said that. Mm. Maybe it was kind of like...
I mean, the one thing that it was that there were the two shots and they were really close together. I mean, although, according to the official report, one missed. One shot missed?
Yeah, there were three shots in the first.
One missed.
Two were very close together.
Yeah. Which kind of suggests that they may have been very difficult shots because he was so accurate with both of them.
Mm.
But the ones that hit, of course.
But it was also it could have been related to the whole magic bullet thing, how it went through JFK's back and then moved and then went through, I can't remember his name, but the driver was injured, wasn't he? Was it the driver or someone else in the car was also injured?
The governor.
Connolly?
Yeah, Connolly? That's it. Yeah. John Connolly was injured,
The angle, how it managed to go through both of them.
Yeah. Well, that's been argued that the Connolly's seat was not directly in front of JFK's, but actually slightly to the left. So from that angle, it would have gone basically in a diagonal line through Kennedy into Connolly. Rather than, it's still a bit of a weird quirk. Like most cars, even back then, the seats are right in front of each other. There's, for whatever reason, Connolly's front seat was kind of indented, so to speak, like a beginning of a paragraph on a Word document. It's kind of like in a bit from the margins. And I don't know why. I presume there's some kind of security reason for that, or just a quirk in that kind of car. Because it was an official,
motorcade.
That's it, motorcade car.
Yeah.
So it may have been some kind of security thing there, who knows.
It worked, didn't it? You got shot too.
Yeah, you got shot too, yeah, that worked.
And maybe that was why Carlos Hathcook thought the shot was impossible. Maybe that was why, in fairness. But I thought that was interesting. That he thought it was an impossible shot. Mm.
The sad thing is, with JFK assassination, is that we have these two killers, Oswald and Ruby, and both of them died too soon under strange circumstances for us to know with any kind of confidence what their motives were or how they did it. Because in Oswald's case, he wasn't given the time to reveal how he did it or why he did it, because obviously he's denying it at first. He may have cracked eventually, who knows. In Ruby's case, he obviously did it, but then didn't get convicted for it. Before dying.
Yeah, true.
So we'll never know. That's the great tragedy, which I guess is why it's so fascinating and why it keeps coming up every few years, because, you know, it's a big event that we don't know everything about.
Mm. Did you know that the majority of Americans believe the JFK conspiracy, or there was a conspiracy behind JFK's death?
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I'm not surprised, actually.
It's quite a big margin, apparently. Yeah. According to a Gallup poll from 2013, 30% believe the official story, and 61% believe in a conspiracy of some kind.
The problem is that the official story, there are big holes in the official story, aren't there?
There are massive holes.
We do not know the full picture even today. And there's stuff that was, of course, for years, there was so much covered up, and as you say, it was only recently that. It'd be interesting to know when that poll was carried out.
Yeah, because it was before the most recent files were released.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I think that might have changed people's opinions slightly, maybe. But
in some ways, the files have raised even more questions. True, I guess that's a topic for a different podcast.
So
I think that's a good place to conclude it and wrap things up.
Well, there you go. That was our look at Jack Ruby, who was involved in the JFK conspiracy. Often overlooked, I think. But yeah, I just found that. Found that interesting.
What are your thoughts on the Jack Ruby conspiracies? If you're on YouTube, you can comment below. If you're listening to us, then please check out our YouTube channel. You can watch this video on there, or you can watch many of our other videos, including videos on JFK. And if you enjoyed this, we'd love to know your feedback, whether you think we should do more of these, if there's anything you'd like us to look at in future episodes. And if you really enjoyed it, then please consider supporting us on Patreon.
Fantastic. All right, well, cheers, guys.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for being here. Thank you for your time.
Fantastic.
And thank you for listening. See you next time.